This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
Week 9, it's time to go around the AFC North. And our first spot is in Baltimore, where they host the Denver Broncos at 1 p.m. on Sunday. But surprisingly, they went into Cleveland as a 10-point favorite, and they are licking their wounds after losing to Jameis Winston and the Browns and breaking their five-game winning streak. Bob Haney, 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore, joins us. All right, what? I'm not gloating or anything like that, but what went wrong, Bob?
Let's see here. A bunch of dropped interceptions come to mind. Maybe the lack of use of Derrick Henry. Some interesting Todd Monken calls. Wildcats on fourth and a yard and a half. Charlie Kohler lining up behind center, getting a false start penalty. Justin Tucker missing another 50-plus yard field goal. Other than that, it was a pretty strong day for the Ravens there in Cleveland.
Is there a Justin Tucker problem in Baltimore? Is he still elite?
Well, I guess if you want to be fair and real about it, guys like Butker, Carlson, Chris Boswell would probably have the edge over Justin Tucker right now. But we were just talking about it last week, guys, that 2 weeks in a row he had made 50-plus yarders, big one against Cincinnati, and then one against Tampa. So it's like, I had nothing to see here. Please disperse, and you guys saw the game. Even the one he made barely got over the crossbar. So I don't know if it's a problem that is something that needs to be addressed, but it's not Justin Tucker from 2-3 years ago for sure, especially from distance.
All right, Bob, what I didn't hear from you were all the excuses I was seeing from some Ravens fans about how Jameis Winston was able to dice up your secondary. Are you going to offer some of those excuses up, or are you just going to give the Browns the credit?
You got to give them credit. I mean, the Browns gave up, 35 sacks going into the game, and the Ravens, one of the better pass rush teams, couldn't generate any pressure. Marcus Williams, who I believe we were talking about last time I was on, he got benched, was a healthy scratch. Eddie Jackson, who replaced him, was even worse than Marcus Williams has been. Hamilton drops the interception, which would have sealed the deal. But we knew, we were talking about it on our show, me and Vinny, if anything, Winston can get the ball down the field, and the Ravens have the worst pass defense in the NFL. Their defensive backfield's been atrocious, and they were minus Marlon Humphrey and Nate Wiggins, so them making plays through the air is not surprising. It's the fact that the Ravens, which has been a season-long issue, they cannot secure the football when they get it in their hands. Eddie Jackson dropped two or three himself, and then Hamilton, which would have been the game ender, he dropped it, I think, three times on the one play alone. And then they get burned on the very next play. So I'm not making excuses. The better team that day won, and congratulations to Cleveland.
Jay Feely highlighted it, and it was a great point to make, because I think a lot of – I know that we were texting my buddies and I felt the same way. Boy, when you take Lamar Jackson off the field and you have Derrick Henry lined up at quarterback on a 4th-and-1, you're telling everybody in the building what you're going to do with this. And the Browns there's been one terrible day against Derrick Henry, but they've played actually pretty decently against Derrick Henry in his career.
Yeah, and they blew that play up. He wound up losing 2 yards.
Terrible call by Todd Monken.
even before it was executed poorly, it was a bad call. Because as you said, Lamar Jackson, okay, hello, you don't need to be Colombo to figure out exactly what the plan was there. And the Ravens are marching down the field. If they score, who knows? There's a lot of talk on Monday around these parts. Just kick the field goal, which, by the way, has not really been in Harbs' DNA. We'll call him Harbs, I guess, today on this Wednesday. But he's usually more aggressive there. But, you know, to come out of there with no points and then the Browns score on their first drive, I think it kind of set the tone for the rest of the game.
So what do you expect Deontay Johnson to do for the Ravens? They just traded, I believe, for a fifth-round pick. A fifth-round pick to the Panthers for Deontay Johnson and a sixth-rounder next year. What is he expected to do for the Ravens?
I guess he'll be the third receiver because Zay Flowers is number one. Bateman, other than the two drops on Sunday, was playing really well. I mean, Aguilar had another drop, but he makes the most of his target share. Ravens don't really play three wides a lot with that 11 personnel, I guess they call it. I mean, they don't really go with that formation often, but he can stretch the field, possibly help them in special teams if need be in the return game. But, you know, he's an asset. He played for the Steelers, familiar with the division. I mean, it's not necessarily their number one need. That's on the defensive side of the football, pass rusher or someone in the backfield defensively. But, you know, you can never have enough good players, I guess.
Bob Haney, 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore, as they get ready to host the Denver Broncos at 1 p.m. on Sunday. And we now go to Cincinnati, as the Bengals get ready to host the Las Vegas Raiders at 1 p.m. on Sunday. And Mo Egger, ESPN 1530 in Cincinnati. Mo, is the season on life support?
Hanging by a thread. Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt. I mean, if you lose again at home to the Las Vegas Raiders and you're 3-6 with a short week game against the Baltimore Ravens looming, you have a really hard time convincing me they can bounce back. I think you'd have a hard time convincing most people here right now, even before the game on Sunday, that this season is salvageable. But sure, at 3-6 going to Baltimore, it feels like they have then reached the point of no return.
If the season is not salvageable, who pays the fiddler, if anybody?
Well, it's the Cincinnati Bengals. So, you know, you're being fair if you would expect them to just shrug their shoulders and maintain the status quo, because historically that's what they've done. I don't think it's quite that cut and dry. You know, I think there are folks who don't want to acknowledge that the Bengals, after the 2020 season, took a good hard look at whether or not they were going to bring back Zach Taylor. They ultimately did, and the decision paid off. I don't think it's that far-fetched to suggest that if this continues to go the way it has, that Zach's job could be on the line. I think what would be interesting is if they were to take a look at Duke Tobin, the personnel guy, the de facto GM, because this roster isn't very good. Now, in 2021 and 2022, it was, because they could just throw money at it, right? They had a quarterback under a rookie contract. They had gobs of money to spend in order to convince players to come here. They had to overpay, and they did. With the money they're paying Joe Burrow and with the money they're probably still going to pay Ja'Marr Chase, suddenly, you know, it puts a premium on drafting. And if you look at the defensive side of the ball, they've drafted very poorly. This team is about to go into a bit of a transitional phase. They're going to be replacing T. Higgins. They're going to have to start thinking about replacing some of the older players on the offensive line. Is Duke Tobin the guy to do that? I'm sure that in the offices at Paycor Stadium, there are folks who are starting to wonder that. That might not necessarily mean, you know, that he's going to fall on a sword at the end of the season. But I think if this continues to go the way it has, you will find folks in that building who start to push for maybe a different way of doing things in the front office.
Mo, is anybody starting to jump off the Joe Burrow bandwagon yet, wondering if maybe he's not good enough to overcome some of the issues?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune
I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
No, I think it's you keep asking this guy to do so much. Elevate a bad offensive line, overcome a bad defense, overcome maybe some play calling issues. Joe has not been perfect this year, but he's the highest graded passer in the league according to Pro Football Focus. He leads in QBR. Obviously, those stats sort of ring hollow when your team is 3-5. But for the most part this season, he has been really good. Anecdotally, you could find throws that he should have made or decisions that he should have made. But this team isn't where it is because the quarterback play hasn't been very good. It is where it is because they can't run the ball, because T. Higgins' absence when he isn't on the field, they haven't figured out a way to plug that hole. And because the defense is terrible, none of those things, in my opinion, are a reflection of the quarterback.
Is a dome in Cincinnati something that's realistic?
No, I was trying to come up with a comparison. I think I've already used my Jennifer Aniston line on you guys. There's a better chance of her walking through my front door than building a dome. No, we're not getting a dome. I think it'd be kind of cool. It'd be kind of cool to get, you know, indoor events. You kind of need to go to a game in December when it's not 21 degrees. You guys know that all all too well. But no, we're not. We're going to get some form of a different stadium, not a new stadium, an upgraded stadium. I'm still not sure how we're going to pay for it, but a dome is not going to be a part of the process.
Mo Egger, ESPN 1530 in Cincinnati, joins us as the Bengals get ready to host the Las Vegas Raiders. Little does Mo know, Lima, you and I have a friend who lived on the same floor as Jennifer Aniston. She might have walked through his front door a time or two.
Wow.
It's true. True stuff. Lima, you got friends in high places. Chris Muller now joins us, 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh, as the Steelers embark on the bye week here in Week 9, and they are in really good shape, the Pittsburgh Steelers are. They are sitting at the top of the AFC North, some way, somehow, at 6-2, with what people thought might be the worst quarterback situation in the division, but lo and behold, it ended up being us, maybe until on Sunday when we took on the Ravens. Either way, Chris, Russell Wilson, is he back to his old Russ form? Would you let Russ cook, Chris Muller?
First, Ken, the best I can do on the celebrity front is a friend of mine ended up hooking up with Alanis Morissette after she bummed a cigarette off of him during the intermission of one of her performances.
Whoa!
Where does that rank?
Whoa! I don't know. Did she write a song about your friend?
No, but apparently...
Then I can't confirm it.
Apparently he made enough of an impression that I think the next time she came through town, they had an encore performance.
Friends with Dave Coulier?
No, unfortunately, no. No, not friends.
It's still not as impressive as Andrew Filippone saying that his neighbor had an affair with Mr. Fuji.
And that he was a very generous giving lover.
He was a generous
giving why wouldn't
lover.
He be?
Yeah.
I mean, if it were Slick, I'd have questions. But Mr. Fuji...
I mean, I know Jimmy Hart was the mouth of the South, but...
All right, that's enough.
Anyway, where were we?
Russell Wilson. Is he back?
He appears to... I'll try to get you back on track here. He appears to actually be back. I mean, this does not look like the guy that Sean Payton wanted to throw out with the trash in Denver. He looks more like 2019, 2020. The ball is coming out with zip, with decisiveness. He is clearly throwing things before they're open because he knows they'll be open. Justin Fields, as much as he did good work in six games, needed to see it before he'd let it go. The throw to Pickens, the one that actually counted because there were a couple that got wiped off the board for bizarre reasons. The one down the sidelines, one of the best balls I've seen a Steelers quarterback throw. He is, you know, Arthur Smith's getting him out on play action, on the edges, on bootlegs, and he is making it happen. I am just as surprised to be saying this as anybody is to be hearing it. Yes, they need to let Russ cook because it looks like a completely different and actually real offense with him in there.
Chris, are they talking in Pittsburgh as if they need to change the rule once and for all after that catch about whether it needs to be the same foot or two different feet?
No, if they are, then they're just like, then they're being very reactive to one thing. Let me answer it this way. How many times have you seen a situation where a guy has managed to get the same foot down twice while not getting the other foot down? I tried to rack my brain.
I don't remember it.
No, people are more marveling about how a guy as talented as Pickens is can have weird stuff like this happen to him. Nobody's asking for the rule to be changed. They're all just kind of scratching their heads wondering how this possibly ended up happening to them.
Has Russell Wilson being in the offense cooled the jets of George Pickens?
Yeah, I mean, because in the two games that Russell Wilson has played, he's got, I think, 9 catches for almost 200 yards, and he'd have had 2 touchdowns in this game if they didn't have Broderick Jones rip a guy's head off on the first one, and then if he had just managed to get that second foot down. So Pickens wants to be involved. He's getting involved. He's hitting deep shots. That's always been what it is with him. If you get him involved and you make him the featured part of the passing game, which he should be, then he's going to be on the straight and narrow like most really good wide receivers, really talented guys.
Is there any thought that you would sign him long-term, George Pickens, or is it just an understood principle in Pittsburgh that, he's going to lose his mind like a lot of other wide receivers, we're going to trade him?
No, I think they do want to sign him long-term, believe it or not. I think they feel like if they're getting a quarterback, quarterback play that actually unlocks him and has him like a 1,200, 1,300-yard wide receiver, then I think Mike Tomlin feels like, hey, I can keep this guy engaged. If he's putting up numbers, he's going to be a good teammate. And so I do think that they want to sign him to a long-term deal. There's certainly nobody else on the roster right now who fits the profile of a second contract wide receiver.
Cam Sutton's coming back. Answer this quick. What's he going to do for you in the final 9 games?
If you listen to some of the people that are really ensconced with the team or embedded with the team, they think he's going to take Beanie Bishop's role and slot right back into that third nickel corner role, because apparently, they really are excited to get him back, and Tomlin loves veterans. I don't know about that one, though.
Do you believe the fine people of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania would support a dome?
No. Well, let me put it this way. They'd all say, no, football's meant to be played outside, and the Roonies would never do it. But in the event that somehow an act of God happened and there was a dome stadium here, people would say, this is really nice going to a football game where it's climate controlled inside. But right now, they'd all say, no, they don't want it.
So what do you guys think of us building a dome?
I mean, I think that it's a smart move by you guys, because I'm presumably if you had the hotel infrastructure, would Cleveland not then at least have a chance to try to bid for Super Bowls? I mean, Minnesota's gotten one. Mm-hmm. Tony went to the U.S. Bank Stadium and said it's probably the best stadium he's been to in the NFL. I think it's just smart business for teams that want to be in play or at least be given, something approaching real consideration for the biggest game of the year.
Chris Muller, 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh as we went around the AFC North. Bob Haney, 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore. Mo Egger, ESPN 1530, and the aforementioned Chris Muller, 93.7 The Fan over in Pittsburgh.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.